3:15. The committee is located in room 124. Please silence your cell phones. To begin with, I'd like to introduce my committee aide, Deneen Tuck, and we also have here Ashley Stroud, who is my co-chair's committee aide. Also, the recording secretary, Robert Montenegro, and the LIO moderator, Eileen, is it Keim?
Yes.
Keim. Thank you very much for helping us with this meeting. The members present are Representative Tallarico and Representative Hannon. All of the other, and myself, Representative Ledoux, the co-chair. All of our other members have been excused, so we actually don't have a quorum to pass legislation out of committee, but we're not planning on passing legislation out of committee today. So we're just going to proceed. The only order of business on today's agenda is the overview of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development presented by Deputy Commissioner John Faulkner. And Deputy Commissioner Faulkner, are you on the line?
Madam Chair, yes, I am.
Fantastic. Do you want to proceed?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is John Faulkner, Deputy Commissioner of Commerce. Thank you for this opportunity to present an overview of our department. I'm participating remotely in Anchorage, but I have a very capable team who I will introduce in a minute, many of whom are in Juneau, most of whom are online to assist me with answering any questions that you might have toward the end. Fred Parity, our senior advisor and legislative liaison, will be assisting me with the slides. Slide two, please. Our department is made up of six core divisions shown here and six corporate partners. Today, I'm just going to focus on the divisions, as I expect you'll be requesting individual presentations from the corporations at the bottom here in a different color at a later time. But I'm happy to field any questions of a general nature relating to the corporations. And by the way, Madam Chair, feel free to interrupt me at any point if I'm going too fast. Next slide, please.
Sir, if you could just hold on for a moment. If anybody wants to ask a question during the presentation, just raise your hand and we'll take it during the presentation, and then there'll be an opportunity to have questions answered after the presentation has concluded. Thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're on slide three. And our department's job begins with simple mission statements, and these were created recently by our division directors who received input from all other division directors within our department. And I want to pause here and emphasize that one of the most important priorities of our Commissioner Anderson is to emphasize the synergies that exist among our divisions. Each division naturally supports the others in a way that builds a lot of teamwork and efficiency. So the logic inherent in how we're organized is very visible here in these mission statements and how each team member complements the work of the others. So I won't go through and read them, but they're very brief summaries of the missions that we've adopted for each of the divisions under Commerce. Next slide, please. Here I'm beginning to introduce our team members, but briefly, an excellent team that I'm very proud of, and I know the commissioner is especially proud of, consisting of long-term veteran incumbents and some new talent. These introductions will be brief, mostly so you can identify a face with a name as you meet them there in Juneau. Matt Fignani is up first. He has two primary sections, economic development and investments. Many of you are aware of the good work that went into the economic development plan called North to Opportunity. We intend to retain and build upon that document. I'll get into that a little more detail later. And the investment arm of his department consists mostly of loan origination and processing for various funds. Next slide, please. Slide five introduces Sandra Muller, who brings vast experience in serving rural Alaska. She oversees the Community and Regional Affairs Division. Important functions are listed here for you, but those consist of municipal land trust obligations, community aid, local government assistance, various forms, native language programs, and Serve Alaska. Next slide, please. These are a few additional programs. They couldn't all fit on one page. Sandra oversees a very large department with a diverse mission, which I might add is actually constitutionally mandated. It's one of the few, in fact, the only division underneath Commerce that is constitutionally mandated. Much of DCRA funding comes through the Alaska Energy Authority and Power Cost Equalization. That's something to note here. So next slide, please. Slide seven introduces Sarah Chambers. She oversees corporations, business, and professional licensing, which is perhaps the fastest growing division that we have, and enforcement is part of her purview. Next slide, please.
Representative Hannon, you've got a question?
I did. I wanted to go back a slide or two, if we can, through
okay.
the chair.
Absolutely.
So under strong communities, revenue sharing programs, both the fisheries tax and community assistance programs in the governor's proposed budget, those programs have been substantially altered. Can you tell me what preparations your department has made? Or, they're currently still listed, but I'm hearing from my local communities that the budget dramatically impacts their ability to receive those funds. Is that accurate?
Representative Hannon, through the chair, I'm reserving this portion of my presentation to simply introduce the personalities overseeing the divisions. I would intend to get into a little bit more detail on your question, but I would just briefly respond by saying no. I won't get into in any great detail budgetary questions. I do have standing by representatives from ADMIN and also OMB to discuss those in particular if we go there. The merging, I think, of certain funds is what you're describing, and perhaps later in the presentation I'll be able to speak that those impacts under our present budget should be benign, if not positive. So I hope that at least temporarily answers your question.
I'm kind of confused. How will, this is Representative Ledoux, how will the elimination of the revenue sharing programs and the community assistance programs, you use the term benign, and that sounds a little bit confusing to me.
Madam Chair, I don't mean to confuse you. It's my understanding these revenue sharing programs that you're describing are not going away.
Are they being reduced?
Madam Chair, it's my understanding that these programs are not being reduced through our department at this time.
So I get this is Representative Hannon through the chair. So the department is not anticipating those changes and will not restructure unless the legislature restructures following a budget directive from the governor that calls for those revenue sharing programs to go away. So unless we pass legislation that changes that, then the department is obligated to continue with the revenue sharing. Is that the conclusion I could draw?
Representative Hannon through the chair, yes. That's what I'm trying to convey. It's subject, of course, to legislative approval, but if we're talking about perhaps the power cost equalization, those are simply being collapsed into the general fund and would be subject to appropriation. That doesn't mean that the programs are diminished in any way or that those programs are going away.
Follow up? Do you have-
no, that would be a comment.
Thank you.
Shall I continue, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
Okay, I believe I'm going to go back to slide 8. And if we're there, this is introducing Lori Heyer, who oversees insurance. Lori is charged with keeping our insurance markets competitive and transparent for consumers. She's an expert in her field and a true resource to Alaskans as we navigate some of important questions relating to healthcare markets, which we'll discuss a little bit later in the presentation. This lists some of those activities which she oversees. Next slide, please. Erica McConnell oversees the Alcohol Marijuana Control Office, which, of course, is working very diligently to keep pace with consumer expectations. She's also tasked with licensing and enforcement. Next slide, please.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question here. So it's my understanding, am I correct, that the governor is intending to eliminate the alcohol and marijuana control boards?
Madam Chair, there is a proposal that I've heard discussed to merge those, possibly to find a more efficient way to execute their business. That's all the knowledge that I have on that particular question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm continuing on slide 10. Patrice Walsh is introduced here, is another veteran, and she oversees Banking and Securities Division. Her core mission includes licensing, banks of proxy filings, enforcement, and consumer education. Next slide, please. We're getting here into our department top priorities. And so I'm now moving past the introductions and into a little bit more of the meat of what we're charged with doing in our core priorities. So we're listing here what those priorities are for our commissioner, Commissioner Anderson. And as the governor stated, Alaska is open for business. And our primary objective is to reinforce that to Alaskans and the world beyond our borders. Under Commissioner Anderson's leadership, our department's focusing on efforts to make sure that we are doing everything possible that we can to improve Alaska's economy. So the goals that we've listed here support that general statement. We're focusing on the core services and constituent needs. We're really working hard across departments to seek out where there is duplication in permitting and in activities, say, that might fall under DOT, DNR, and trying to help our constituents work through easements or land use allocations, those sorts of things. We're identifying permitting backlogs and trying to fix those problems for Alaskans. Cutting red tape, reducing reliance on government where that's not appropriate. We're trying to enable the private sector to come in and invest more in Alaska to solve problems that private sector might be more adept at solving. All of these things we hope will create jobs and opportunities for Alaska moving forward. Next slide, please. We're now moving into the missions of the individual divisions with this slide. So I'm moving into the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. in the division, in this division, which we call CBPL, professional licensures administered largely by boards, with departmental or division support for roughly 21 programs. The remaining 22 programs are administered solely by the division, which Sarah Chambers oversees. So CBPL also manages registration for corporations, business licenses, and tobacco endorsements. So the major functions of this division are listed here for you. Business licensing, corporations, professional licensing, enforcement, and administrative support for the boards and commissions which oversee those professions that have them. Under trademarks, which falls under corporations, there's an emerging interest in better protection of business names in Alaska. So you might flag that because you'll be hearing more about an emerging trend of poaching business names, which we're trying to discourage, obviously. Next slide, please.
Representative Hannon has a question for you.
So through the chair, Mr. Faulkner, the professional licensing has 21 boards, and then the next page shows that we have 22 professional regulated directly by the division. Could you give us the board's examples or provide us with a list of the 21 professions that are regulated through licensure boards?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that at a later time, or alternatively, Representative Hannon, through the chair, I could ask Sarah Chambers to give you a very exact answer on that now if you prefer.
I think a list is better than having to recite from memory on cue 21 boards. Although she's showing it's...
Slide 14.
Okay, it's just further ahead. Thank you.
You can proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll proceed. I believe I'm on slide 13 at this point. This represents the workload of the division sort of by way of numbers. And again, rather than repeat all of them, I might just highlight the volume here that Ms. Chambers is overseeing. The 22 professions that are regulated by the division are listed here, quite extensive. And then, of course, the number of licenses, endorsements, corporations, including the investigations that were conducted in 2018, are all here for your review as well. Next slide, please. Slide 14 introduces all of the 21 boards or commissions that are regulating the various professions that we oversee in this division. And again, I won't read them all, but it's quite an extensive list there. Next slide, please. This gives you a sense of growth in the total number of professional licenses that the state has is overseeing between 2007 and 2018. It's grown from 50,000 to roughly 90,000 today.
I've got a question here, Deputy Commissioner. So has that risen because there have been more professions that have been regulated, or is it more people within the professions, or is it a combination of both?
Madam Chair, I would say it's a combination of those two, plus additional licensees from out of state that wish to do business with Alaska, and a growing awareness that licensing those individuals doing business in Alaska affect Alaskans. So I would say it's a combination of all three of those factors, yes.
Representative Hannon has a question for you.
Thank you, and through the chair. And can I just clarify that total professional licenses incorporated incorporates all licenses, whether they are regulated directly by the division or by a board. So those are combined in that number.
Representative Hannon, through the chair, yes, that is my understanding. And Ms. Chambers is there to correct me if I'm misleading you.
And she is shaking her head, yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, good question. Thank you. I'm moving on to the next slide, which is 16. This, again, illustrates the growth in professional licensing programs. Quite dramatic. Recently, the division completed a comprehensive process reform initiative to streamline initial professional licensures online through My Alaska. And the new system allows professionals to submit initial license applications online, to pay online, to track the status of their applications, receive status updates via email and that sort of thing, and to print it out and receive a copy. We're actually undertaking a study presently to improve that process and that online digital processing to every single element under this division. So all told, we have 94,000 licensees. We process over 7,000 filings, receipts of over 15 million, of which about 3.6 covers operations. The rest goes to the general fund. Next slide, please. At this point, I'm turning now to the Division of Banking and Securities. Nearly every Alaskan is touched in some way by this program administered through Division of Banking and Securities. The division's core mission is to support a stable financial systems which support our economic growth. We perform a lot of examinations in state and out of state for compliance. Investigate to ensure the safety and soundness of our banking industry. We're also committed to sharing information with the industry in and out of state in an effort to streamline some of those processes. So here we list the core services that the division undertakes. I won't read them all, but we register the financial entities and the institutions. We examine licensees for compliance. We provide a lot of outreach and education, and we accept Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act shareholder proxy filings. Next slide, please. This lists, what if you had questions concerning what, in fact, are the regulated financial services that we're concerned with, both in and out of state, but primarily in state, obviously, they're listed here for you. State banks, BIDCOs, which are industrial development corporations, mortgage lenders, security brokers, security agents, mutual funds, Alaska Native Claims, ANCSA corporations, and shareholder proxy filings. So quite a spread of financial institutions. Next slide, please. Similar to CDPL, we have sort of a by-the-numbers, a snapshot of what the Division of Banking and Securities is dealing with. And you can see there's quite a volume here. So, again, I won't read all of these, but it gives you a pretty good idea of the number of financial institutions, money service companies that are licensed and examined through this division. Next slide, please. This slide just lists, for your convenience, some of the accomplishments in 2018. Didn't incorporate my tenure here. I came on in December, but we did want to list these for your review. We settled a multi-state enforcement case with LPL Financial regarding the sales of unregistered non-exempt securities. 49 states signed the order, and as a result, Alaska received $499,000 in civil penalties. So I think this message sends a strong message that states serve a vital role in protecting investors by holding firms accountable. And this is an example, too, of where cross-state cooperation really strengthens the system as a whole, because, of course, banking and securities are interstate. Next slide, please. I'm now moving to community and regional affairs. Quite a diverse mandate here. It incorporates four of the next slides. And there may be areas of focus, as Representative Hannon alluded to earlier, but it's our intent to, and I think our current budget supports this, to leave these important programs intact. And there's nothing that I'm aware of that's going to alter that commitment to Alaska. Very proud of that. And we are seeking efficiencies in everything we do moving forward. So that's the broad statement that I'll use to introduce the next four slides. But the attempt here is to summarize for you the important work that Community and Regional Affairs conducts on a daily basis, and it's quite extensive. I'll elaborate on the first slide here, slide 21, under Planning and Land Management section, the third item listed there, community profile maps and interactive mapping for purposes of your committee and the public listening. The DRO database is fantastic. It's a huge community resource that we're very proud of. We've invested a lot in, and it's reflected in a database that is comprehensive. You can literally pull up data by community throughout the state of Alaska at virtually any size, and tap into the profile of that community, whether it's labor, whether it's social in nature, whether it's economic, whether it's education. So there's a great database there. I'll continue moving through this, but Community and Regional Affairs also covers a lot of local government assistance. We house the state assessor and the local boundary commission. Next slide, please. Slide 23 continues with the functions of this division. A very important element of what they do is work with the Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council, and then Serve Alaska. One of our missions is to really highlight Serve Alaska. There's federal assistance, federal funding, there's corporate match, and Serve's function is something that is flexible to serve the needs or niche areas that are underserved. And we're particularly happy to move forward and shape that mission to help Alaskans meet their needs moving forward. Next slide, please. Again, this is a continuation of the activities that we're engaged in, community aid and accountability, a lot of grants that are administered through this program, payment in lieu of taxes, forest receipts, shared fisheries, business tax, landing tax, and then moving down to research and analysis, quite a bit of training is conducted through our division for energy-related projects. Next slide, please. This list of just those remaining tasks that I might not have touched on that are others prescribed by law, And again, a lot of these are mandated under the constitutional mandate to advise and assist, local governments. Next slide, please. We're now moving to the Division of Economic Development. And economic development is small and nimble, but very ambitious. it's a small department with a big mandate to create more jobs and opportunities for Alaskans. I tried to touch on our core services. Investments incorporate a lot of revolving loan funds. We're evaluating those for efficiency. Some of those funds deserve annual legislative appropriations. So what that means is we're looking to evaluate whether these programs are all being taken advantage of by Alaskans and to what extent they're serving current needs. But also if those needs aren't better met through annual legislative appropriation as opposed to through the structure of a revolving loan fund. So that's what's meant there. Under economic development, the governor has a very substantial initiative in the task force that he's created, whose mission is to create jobs and to diversify our economy. Every day we're involved in discussions to how do we remove barriers to industry? What are the impediments to success? And we sent out a questionnaire a couple weeks ago to over 10,000 Alaskans asking them that question. We're in the process of compiling that data, and you'll have the results of that shortly. Next slide. Oh, excuse me. The creation of an online business park is something to also note. It's an emerging technology that we're hoping to harness. It holds a lot of promise. It's in its infancy stage, but essentially what this is a first-time-ever platform that will take every seed concept that we're aware of and in a public way publish that so that startup capital or venture capital, if they're in a growth mode, can actually be targeted to a variety of businesses or startup opportunities in this state and can actually drill down to a detailed level to know whether they want to invest in those technologies and those ideas or not. Next slide, please. This is a brief slide just looking back. And again, my focus today is mostly on looking forward, but here's a brief sort of overview looking back into FY18 and probably the first half of FY19. And our focus right now is mostly looking forward. I touched on a couple of those initiatives with you in the last slide, the questionnaire being one, the task force being one, and trying to gain some efficiencies within our existing RLF funds. Next slide, please. I'll be brief here. We're listing activities and accomplishments in the prior year. It gives you a pretty good overview of some of the things we're proud of, some of the things that we intend that are legacies and we intend to build on. The most important being the statewide comprehensive economic development strategy, otherwise known as SEDS. A lot of great work went into that. An example of a lot of community buy-in and involvement. And we intend, we've been asked about that. Do we intend to honor that document and build upon it? And the answer is yes. There's a lot of great work there. We're trying to condense it a little bit so that it's an easier read, from 70 pages maybe down to half that size, but a very good document. Next slide, please. This just lists some of the challenges moving forward.
Commissioner, Representative Hannon has a question.
Through the chair, on that last slide, the last bullet point uses a phrase supporting it's under startups and entrepreneurs by supporting sprints and pitch competitions. Could you enlighten me as to what that is?
Well, pitch, Pitches are essentially the word that entrepreneurs use to solicit interest for business ideas. So there are angel investment avenues out there, and we're engaged in with the university, for example, and a lot of their startup and angel investment funds. And there's a fund within the city of Anchorage. I think it's called 49th State or something very close to that, Representative Hannon. And we are supporting those and trying to bring in this office a coordination to all of these various avenues for sprints and pitch competitions for capital and startup ideas through the business park model. So sprints and pitch competitions are really just entrepreneurs forming little communities where they're trying to match the needs with technology and capital to see an idea move forward. I hope that answers your question.
I think Representative Hannon has a follow-up.
So that defines it for me. Could you elaborate as to whether has the division been then hosting a startup conference, Alaska Entrepreneurs 2018, where it's hosting that, or describe what supporting that means?
Well, I can't, Representative Hannah, through the chair, we don't have any specific plans at this time to host any specific forums. We are largely supporting the efforts of the private sector, and where those naturally or organically arise, we hope to stimulate them and support them. We are not planning to be aggressively hosting these ourselves. We don't have the resources to do that.
So this is Representative Ledoux. How do you intend to stimulate them, for example?
Madam Chair, good question. Ongoing conversation. Did I lose you?
You're fading out.
Madam Chair?
Yes, you're back.
Oh, my.
Strong.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I hit the speaker button, and I'm glad I have you back. It's an ongoing conversation as to how we can best stimulate the private sector. I think the best answer is eliminate barriers to their success. And there are, including myself, some that have in this department vast experience with the private sector, and we hope to bring that success and that experience to bear. In really knowing what it takes to see business ideas and business investment to fruition. And I think the best answer to your question is stimulating investment in existing enterprises that want to expand, to look for barriers to new companies that are startups, and trying to help them wherever we can, coordinate the public sector, the vast wealth of information that exists within the public sector, including our university systems, with private capital to build upon those ideas. And then I think the third leg of this stool would be communicating in every forum that we can, short of maybe emphasizing trips outside of the state. We do not intend to invest a lot in that. However, it is a valuable component to what we need to do. But more importantly, just spreading the word globally that Alaska is more than just a desirable place to do business. It's the best place in the world to do business. So I hope that answers your question.
Representative Hannon.
Through the chair. And John, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but I'm just trying to wrap my head around because it's listed under activities and accomplishments. And I'm just trying to figure out if whether we were sending someone from DED to a university forum that was already existing, or if we're sending out flyers, or whether we've got a venture capital expert who recruits and hooks them up. So I'm not looking for the global answer, but the specifics in 2018. There's an example on there of the Alaska-grown, Alaska-made product, and I understand that. I see it. I know how the state supports that. But I just, here in our community, we have an economic development council, and they just hosted an entrepreneurial startup forum. So is that the kind of thing that the division has been doing? Is that where the local economic councils get their money, or am I way off base?
No, I think, Representative Hannon, through the chair, I think you're very much on base. And it's our, the innovation conference that was recently held there. We sent a representative, Assistant Commissioner Sean Williams to that innovation conference. And we are absolutely hoping to attend as many of these as we possibly can with the message that we're trying to bring to bear that we're open for business, we're removing barriers, we're attracting capital, but we're largely trying to do that through stimulation of the private sector, not necessarily expanding government's role in that process. And we're seeking every channel and availing ourselves of every channel we can, whether they're brochures, whether they're conferences. We've already met with the university several times, Mr. Bittner, Mrs. Bell, who runs the economic development section at the university, several times to get gain direction that we can collaborate on.
So I have just one question here. This is listed as activities and accomplishments in 2018. What exactly did DED do in 2018 with respect to startups and supporting sprints and pitch competitions?
Madam Chair, I would probably want to defer to Matt Vignani at this point. Who's online and who can give you, I think, perhaps a more definitive answer on that than I can.
Okay. I'm sorry, Matt, I'm mispronouncing your name. Are you there? Hello, Matt?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair. The line just got unmuted. In 2018, the department participated in several types of pitch and startup opportunities, like the 1 million cups, which met frequently in order to talk about entrepreneurial ideas. We utilized the UAA Small Business Economic Organization to help reach out to startups and to help them work through complex issues to getting a business going. We also worked with startup funding. And we also helped by presenting the first crowdfunding type opportunity, which Baranoff Brewing Company in the southeast there was the to date the only recipient of crowdfunding as a way to help small startups seek local funding.
What was the state's role in that crowdfunding?
The state's role, I believe it was Senator Costello who passed legislation to allow for crowdfunding, which is a unique unique idea that is being done in the lower 48. That allows for friends, family, neighbors to invest in local businesses, and it gives them a vehicle to do it. but you cannot use monies from outside of the state. So it's investors only within the state that is offering the particular crowdfunding opportunity.
So
we facilitated the rollout of that.
When you say you facilitated the rollout of that, do you mean that you asked Senator Costello to introduce the bill?
No, I don't believe that the department asked, but we facilitated the rollout. That's a better use of words.
And that's actually what I don't quite understand, the term facilitated the rollout. I mean, I remember discussing this bill in one of my committees last year, and I thought it was a great bill, but I'm actually not sure, and I don't quite understand what you mean by facilitated the rollout.
So let me clarify, and I, through the chair, I apologize if I'm I apologize. We really promoted it more than did anything. We put it on our website. We answered questions to people who would call in order to help educate the market, but we did not put any real resources into promoting it. We facilitated information.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You can continue.
Madam Chair, would you like me to continue?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I'm moving now to slide 21, I believe. 28, excuse me. Slide 28 introduces the challenges that we face, but are confident that we can meet in the coming years. With respect to investments, and this is primarily the revolving loan funds, the volatility across fisheries, of course, concerns us all. The uniqueness of the collateral generally with the fisheries loans can be problematic for the private sector, boats and gear and permits and whatnot. And the lack of startup capital for new fishers is always an issue. And, of course, we're hearing that the lack of large loans or source of funding for large loans for larger mid-sized fishermen who are looking to upsize particularly their boats. So those are some of the challenges that we face with the fisheries loans in particular. Also within this RLF, our mariculture and fisheries enhancements, and the issues there are sometimes profitability. Sometimes there's allocation issues if there, for example, is fish enhancements. Mariculture is a growing field and one that we are supporting vigorously. There's a lot of permitting, streamline of permits, cross-departmental, whether they're DNR leases, DEC type of water quality issues, that for this industry, for the mariculture industry to thrive in this state, we really want to be focusing on how we can streamline that permitting process. And I would encourage continued focus there, as our department is bringing more focus there as well. So next slide. I don't know how I managed to do this, but I saved the most complicated for the last.
Excuse me, Commissioner, Representative Hannon has another question for you.
So back on 28, the top of that page is challenges. The second half after investments is development. And one of the bullets, the last one, is depletion of strategic minerals funding. Could you elaborate for me? Is that a specific program?
Representative Hannon, through the chair, we have specialists within the department, the division, Leah Bauer, but I'm going to ask again that Matt Fignani speak directly to this because his knowledge will answer your question.
And Mr. Fignani, would you please identify yourself for the record and tell us what your position is?
Through the chair, My name is Matthew Fagnani. I'm the Director of Economic Development.
Thank you. You can proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Strategic Mineral Funds was a legislative appropriation that just ran its course and was not reallocated, and so the funding no longer exists, but the division still continues to provide the minerals report, and the which is a report that's specifically focused on mining, which we presented to the legislature within the first 10 days, I believe, of this legislative session.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Faulkner, when you proceed again, please identify yourself for the record and tell us your position. And that's because my aide just reminded me that it's much easier for the recording secretary to transcribe things if you do that.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. My name is John Faulkner. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
Thank you.
And I'm proceeding with slide 29. And as I was saying, I've saved one of the more complex divisions for last, but certainly one of the most important. And Lori Heyer is accompanying us today, and she is highly respected expert in the field of insurance, and I imagine that you're going to have perhaps some detailed questions that I would avail myself of her expertise to answer. So with that caveat, I want to move fairly quickly through these slides in the sense that they summarize the important work that Lori's division does under the title Revenue here. These are revenue-producing activities. It is a department that is self-funded. In fact, allows quite a bit of revenue to fall to the general fund. The division collected $10 million in fees last year, and in FY18, the division collected $60 million in premium taxes and penalties, which gives you a pretty good sense of the enforcement activity that's involved. But it's primarily taxes that accounts for that $60 million in revenue. So quite a bit of contribution there to general fund revenues. With respect to federal funding, I really don't have much to elaborate here with this slide. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. There are various sources of funding that come in from our federal government. If you have specific questions on those, I will absolutely have to defer to Ms. Heyer to help explain those. They're very complex streams. They tie, of course, to the Affordable Care Act. They tie to the exchange and those sorts of things, which I'm not an expert in. So next slide, please. Federal funding does include the state flexibility grant, which is described here. And if you have questions about this flexibility grant, I would defer those to Ms. Heyer. Next slide, please. The Alaska Reinsurance Program holds a lot of promise for this state and is a major accomplishment of the division essentially brings it's designed to remove the highest cost claims from Alaska individual health insurance market and bring more competitive rates to those higher risk markets. So this is a conditions-based program that covers 33 of the most expensive conditions, which drive up costs.
So,
and again, Ms. Heyer, excuse me, go ahead.
So, Commissioner, it says that the program is invisible to the insured. What does that mean?
Madam Chair, if I could ask Ms. Heyer to elaborate on that, I would appreciate it.
Madam Chairman, for the record, I'm Lori Winghire. I'm the director of the Division of Insurance for the state. It's invisible because if you enroll in the individual market, you're going to see Premera. As of right now, that is our only insurer in the market. You will never know that behind the scenes, that claim, if you're a hemophiliac, if you have certain kinds of cancer and other very serious and expensive or chronic conditions, that claim is actually ceded to the state reinsurance program. So you would deal with Premera, you would use their network doctors or providers, you would pay your premium to Premera, but you would never know that behind the scenes that claim is being picked up by the state reinsurance program.
So do you know how many people this covers in an average year?
Madam Chair, we estimate, knowing what we had in 2018, we're probably between 550 and 600 people.
And do you know what the cost of the program is to the state?
I believe it's on the next slide, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, let's move to slide 33, which highlights the cost of the program and the pass-through funds and the savings. And if you had any questions for Ms. Heyer that aren't answered on this slide, I, again, would defer to her.
I guess I have a question, because I'm just trying to make sure I can read this right. So am I reading for 550 to 600 people that the cost is approximately in 2018 was approximately $60 million?
Madam Chairman, that is correct.
Wow. Thank you.
Madam Chair, we will proceed to slide 34. And slide 34 summarizes for you the advantages of health insurance in Alaska and doing business in Alaska with respect to health insurance and the challenges that we face. The growth in infrastructure, increased access to services across the state is an advantage. Alaska Reinsurance Program has reduced the consumer costs, but they are increasing. And the challenges are noted here as well. So with that, I'm going to move to slide 35 and conclude this presentation and open it up to questions. Slide 35 lists the major accomplishments and challenges with the Division of Insurance for FY 2018. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd like to conclude my presentation and open it up for any questions that we might be able to answer for you.
So do we have any further questions for Deputy Commissioner Faulkner?
Madam Chair, I tried to grill him as we went so he didn't have a downtime. And I do want to say on the record that I participated in a presentation by Lori Winghire much earlier in our non-organized section of the session, and it was extraordinarily helpful, and that's why I had no questions for her.
So we actually have a number of other people either here in the building or online to answer questions. We have Sarah Chambers, who's here. Does anybody have any questions for Sarah? No further questions for, I have a question for Lori.
Madam Chairman.
For the record, again, this is Lori Winghire, the Director of the Division of Insurance. Madam Chairman, your question.
So going back to the reinsurance program, mm-hmm. Wouldn't most of these 550 or 600 people simply qualify for Obamacare?
This is exactly what that is, Madam Chair. This is the Affordable Care Act.
This is the Affordable Care Act.
Yes, ma'am.
So don't they get federal subsidies?
Madam Chair, they receive subsidies, the lower income and some moderate income receive subsidies to pay the premium, but it doesn't pay the claims. So that they're paying their premium much as you do for Alaska Care, and then Alaska Care pays your claim. So they pay Premera, or they're subsidized to pay Premera. So the federal government is paying Premera, but then Premera picks up the cost of the claims.
And we have to reinsure, because if we don't do this, then Premera is going to leave the state. Is that the idea?
Madam Chair, in 2016, there was that discussion when you and Representative Tallarico were in the House at that time. When the bill was passed, MOTA had withdrawn from the market. We knew they were leaving, and Premera was concerned and expressed that they might not be able to continue in the market. We had taken 2 years in a row, and we're looking at a third of a 40% increase, and it was making it totally unaffordable, the premiums, for Alaskan consumers. And that's when we came up with the reinsurance program. The state funded the first year with $55 million. We worked hard to get the waiver by the second year, and now it's pretty much self-supporting with federal funds.
Ah, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, Jeremy Woodrow, Alaska Seafood Marketing. Barbara Reed, Banking and Securities. Sandra Moeller, DCRA. Sean Williams, Assistant Deputy Commissioner, Deputy Commerce. April Wilkerson, Administrative Service Director, Department of Commerce and Community Economic Development. And I think that's it. So nobody, if no one has any questions for those, thank you very much for this presentation. And before I adjourn, I'll just announce next week's calendar. On March 4th, we're going to hear from Christopher Jamie for the Marijuana Control Board, and on March 6th, Vivian Stiver for the Marijuana Control Board. There being no further committee business, the Labor and Commerce Committee will adjourn at approximately 4:17.